Just for me.
As Brooklyn said, we are the Charleses. I'm Todd, this is my wife Barbara, and we are serving with One Mission Society in Ecuador, South America. And I'm going to let Barbara share a little bit about our first, we just finished our first term. A term for OMS can be a couple years, but ours is 4 years in Ecuador, and then 1 year, 6 months back here, 6 months to a year back here, meeting with our churches, support, family, and taking a little bit of a break. As Brooklyn said, we did spend 8 months in language school, so we got all that stuff running around up in there too. So I'm going to let Barbara share a little bit about our first term.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you for having us, first of all. We were here about this time in 2018, just before we left for the field for the first time. And then in 2020, OMS asked us to come back stateside for about 6 months, and we were here, and we spoke, and we visited with you guys right before we went back to Ecuador in 2020, and now here we are again. So fall every 2 years seems to be a good time for us to be here. So we're just very thankful for you guys for having us. We love coming to Open Arms. It definitely feels like family here, even though we only get to see you every couple years. We just really appreciate you having us. So it's kind of hard to see, it's a little dark here, but we also have our two daughters, Olivia and Madeline. Olivia is 24, she lives in Marysville, and she attends Marion Technical to be she's learning to be a surgical technician. And Madeline is 20, and she is a junior at Cedarville University, and she is majoring in social work with a minor in Spanish. Both of the girls, if you'll remember, we were both school teachers. We were what we call second career missionaries, and we spent our summers as the girls were growing up serving in Ecuador, and then God called us to go full time. So Madeline was with us in Ecuador for 2 years. She graduated in May of 2020, and then transitioned back and started at Cedarville just as we were going back to Ecuador. So we had that hard transition too, was being empty nesters and going back. So I'm just going to give you a kind of really quick recap before Todd shares about what we have been doing the past 4 years in Ecuador. So our first year, our first term, the 9 months of language school, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, for approximately 720 hours of Spanish lessons, and that got us about this much of what we needed to know. And the rest of it has been learned through practice, and just communicating on a daily basis with our friends and people that come to our camp. We had two national strikes that shut the country down for 12 and 18 days. The first one was in 2019, and the second one was in June, right before we came back here in July. Those are exciting times when they have basically what happens during the national strikes is a group becomes unhappy with how the government is functioning. Usually that is a group of the indigenous leaders. We have indigenous that live in the Sierra, the mountains. We have indigenous that live in the jungle tribes. They all come together and they shut down the roads and all commerce in Ecuador for as long until they feel like they have been heard, and then things are allowed to open back up. So we are pretty much locked down for that time. And then, of course, the worldwide pandemic that shut everything down in Ecuador for 2.5 years. Our kids just went back to school in May before we came back here. So that has been 2 years of learning lost for our kids. The conservative estimate is that the pandemic set Ecuador back economically 10 years. And as a developing country, that wasn't anything that we could afford anyway. During that time, we were blessed. Even though we were shut down, we were still able to serve. We distributed approximately 1,000 bags of food. We still hosted 4 medical teams that saw and helped over 1,000 patients. We have started a food ministry that has served approximately 1,200 meals since March, and just countless more opportunities to serve. This was us in language school. You can see Todd kind of stands out in Ecuador. He's a big, tall gringo. People, which is kind of neat because people do recognize him everywhere we go. We were blessed to serve with another, to learn with another family from North America, and they are actually now have transitioned out of Ecuador and are serving in Africa. And
I got to add this. As a school teacher, I used to like to have fun, and so when we went to Ecuador, I took my ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, so that's what that is. This is one of our medical teams that we served with. We have had medical teams, so they come from the doctor that is the head of our medical team, the doctor at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, so another Ohio connection, and the nurses that come with him, and we've been blessed to have them every 6 months except for about a year and a half when things were shut down. We finally made it home to Payatanga in 2019 after being in language school from October 2018 until July of 2019. And these are just some of the things that we do. This is Todd and some of the men from La Viña. I know a lot of you know Kim and Guido Oriana, who also serve in Payatanga. And they have started a church called La Viña Payatanga, which means it's the vineyard. And the men's group does some community service around and helps, and this was a roof, and that is actually a house. That is not a shed, that is a house. I will tell you real quick, when I was 14 years old, God called me to be a teacher, and I always said it wasn't my job, it was my calling, it was who he created me to be. And so when he called us full-time to Ecuador, I was very torn, because I didn't understand why he was asking me to leave. I wasn't done being a teacher. What I have since learned is he didn't call me to stop being a teacher. He just changed my location. And so prior to the pandemic, I was asked to volunteer in the schools to help teach English. English is a required subject for all students from kindergarten to graduation, but very few of our teachers speak English. So I was teaching in the local schools, teaching English. And then also Kim and Guido have their youngest daughter, Sophia, and to free up Kim's time, I homeschooled Sophia for about 20 to 25 hours a week for 3 years. We did second, third, and fourth grade together, so that was a blessing to have. Todd and I are also the leaders of the mission or the youth group at La Viña, and one of the things that we wanted to do was to instill a love for serving and for missions into our teens. Most of our teens had never left our small town of Payatanga, and so this was a mission trip we did to an island that sits in the middle of a large river outside the city of Guayaquil, which is the largest city in Ecuador. And we went and did a Christmas ministry with another friend of ours who is a missionary and serves the children that live on this island. And we did a little puppet show. But that was our first mission trip with our kids. We hosted another medical team in February of 2020, right before everything shut down, when the world was just learning what COVID-19 was. And the very last thing we were able to do is I hosted an English camp, because our kids are on school break in March and April. They go back to school in May. That's their summer break. So I hosted a 3-week English camp for kids to have something to do during their break. Here's Todd going out with our men from our church. One of our members is the fire chief of Payatanga, and he knows a lot of the community and is well known in the community, and helps us know who needs services the most. And so he was very instrumental in us getting food to the people that really needed it during the pandemic. And finally, our camp, Lugar de Shalom, you might have known it as Camp Payatanga. Kim and Guido decided a couple years ago to rebrand it with a new name. We didn't want to just be the camp that's in Payatanga. We wanted to be Lugar de Shalom, which means place of peace. And so we reopened in October of 2021, so we've only been reopened for about a year. And we had a women's ministry group, was our first camp, and I helped speak at that camp, and it was just great to be back doing what we felt God had called us there to do, that because of the pandemic we hadn't been able to do. And then we also hosted in December of 2021, our first medical team back since the pandemic. You'll see the man in the wheelchair with the snazzy tiger pajamas. We had to go up a mountain to see him and visit him. We hear different things, but the closest estimate we can get is he is 107 years old. And we were told when we were there, one of his family members, because whenever we show up, it's just word of mouth, and then everybody comes. And one of the ladies said, thank you for coming. She said, so often people forget about us up here, and just thank you for remembering us. And so I think that's one of the things, more than the medicine and the treatment that the doctors and the medical teams bring, is the fact that people from North America spend their time and their money to come down, and they see them. So often, these people are marginalized. These are indigenous families. They are not seen. Ecuador is very much a class society, and the indigenous are seen as a lower class, and they are marginalized, and that no one wants to work with them. And to just be seen, and just be seen and remembered and prayed over by people that have come to serve them, is just a really tangible representation of God's love. We continued with our youth group, just enjoyed speaking, and then we took, in April, there is a house for teens, I'm trying to explain this, that have aged out of the orphanage system in Ecuador. There is no foster care system, it's still an orphanage system, and these teens have aged out of it, but then as soon as they hit 18, there's no place for them to go but to the streets. And there is a woman who is very well connected in Quito, and she is a Christian, and she has opened this home for the teens, but it is all run on donations. And so we took our teens to Quito to help paint and just do some maintenance around. And just so that was another great trip with our teens. And then in May, we had a medical team came again, and our daughters, Olivia and Madeline, were able to be there too. Madeline is able to spend the summers with us. Olivia, being older and having bills to pay, can only spend a couple weeks with us. But they were both able to be there for the medical team. And it's just been such a blessing that God has used this time, that our girls, who did not grow up in a bilingual family, who did not grow up in a community of bilingual speakers, both are able to speak Spanish because of where they grew up and the experiences that they've had, and are able to use that to reach people and to demonstrate God's love for them. And then we also hosted our first work team since the pandemic came down. I know Rilton has been there with us, and so we have a tiny little chapel that we can't really use for anything. We use our dining hall, does double duty as chapel and dining hall. So anytime groups come to use it, they have to set up, tear down, set up, tear down, set up, tear down, three times a day. So Kim and Guido had a vision to build a large chapel that could be a multi-use building. But then, of course, pandemic. It all comes back to 2020. Everything shut down. We couldn't do any more constructions. We're finally getting started again. This team came down from a church in West Virginia. They put the stone on the fireplace behind us. That's what you see, is a giant chimney behind us. And they ran the electric wiring and hung lights. So we're on the move. Since we've been back here on home ministry, we keep in touch with Kim and Guido. And we actually have estimates for the windows, and we might be more than a glorified shelter house when we get back. So we're really excited about that. So we just want to thank you. This is just a brief snapshot of what we have done the past 4 years with through God allowing us to come alongside what He is doing, and you guys coming alongside also. This is not our ministry. This is your ministry. We are your missionaries. We are blessed to be the feet on the ground, but we couldn't have our feet on the ground without you, without your prayers and your continued support. So we just want to thank you so much for your continued support, your continued prayers. And like I said, we love coming here because we do feel like that you are family. And if any time you would like to come and visit your ministry in Payatanga, Ecuador, please let us know. President Lasso in Ecuador has declared the pandemic over, so they lifted all restrictions. You don't have to show vaccination, and you don't have to wear masks. So now is a great time to come. So, it is an open invitation. We will be going back in January, so anytime you'd like to come. And Todd's going to talk about a couple projects we have coming up.
And if you want to, I know we have some farmers here. This is old school farming. If you want to pretend you can't see what we're doing here, this is through the church, and those are some of our church members. That row of green stuff are green peppers, but those aren't the green peppers. Those are the weeds around the plants. The plants were only about that tall at that time, so we had to weed around the plants by hand, and then they would come along. And they were probably 6 or 7 inches wide between plants, so they would come along later because they couldn't get a hoe in there and do that. So that's all hand labor, and because of the pandemic and things, so many people left Payatanga that this farmer, then he can't afford to hire anybody, and he didn't have enough family members left to help him out. So he reached out to the church, and Guido, love the man, said, yes, we'll come out and do that. So we did spend about 4 hours. Now, I'm a big guy, hard to get down that low, so I sat on my bottom a lot. So, but there's a lot of things happening by time. Like Barbara said, if you guys want to come, we want to invite you. We want to invite you to come see what you're a part of. And there's a lot of opportunities, and a lot of people are a little put off by the Spanish aspect of it. Well, I don't speak Spanish. Well, you don't have to speak Spanish. There are things that we want to do with the camp, and that we've done in the past with the camp, is English camps. As Barbara said, everybody takes English, but hardly anybody speaks English, so they would love to have an opportunity to spend time with native English speakers like yourselves, and just have some time with that. So that's an opportunity that we say is open for everybody, all ages, and you don't need to speak Spanish because it's in English. So that's something to put in your mind. Now, there are a couple of things I want to share. Here's, this is a program, so here's the commercial. There's two projects that's going on right now at the camp. Now, do the chapel one first, would you please? The pictures may not show up very well, but there's some flyers back on the table as well. So we're getting close to this project. And this has been a 4-year project going on, and it's kind of been stalled by the pandemic. But we're looking for help to finish it out. We're at the stage now where we don't really need labor anymore, but money would be nice. The windows, we don't know what the estimate is right now. He'll still get estimates, but he has an estimate from a guy, so we're not real sure what the cost is going to be. But also, if you can tell, the chapel kind of sits in a hole. Because we're on a mountainside, they had to kind of dig it out to get the good dirt. And so we need a landscape around that as well. So just pray about that. And if God leads you, then you can think about that as well. And the next project is a whole new project that God has put on my heart. We do have 14 acres around the camp. And we have a gymnasium. We have a kitchen and all this stuff. And a gymnasium with a basketball court, volleyball court. But one thing that God has put on my heart and mind is a low ropes course. Now, this is not, we don't have this. This is ideas that God has put on my heart and mind to build, that the camp can use, that we can bring youth and inspire youth to come and use the camp. So this is a project that's on my heart. We're raising funds for that. So again, there's flyers back there. So just put that in your mind and your heart. And if God leads you, of course, only do it if God leads you. That's what I always say. So that's just some information there for that. All right, thank you. All right, there's the end of the commercial. All right, so today, as Barbara said, we were both school teachers in the public school. I taught in Urbana, Ohio for 22 years, and majority of what I taught was science. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some science. One of those things I taught for so long was astronomy. And I seeing I can only imagine, and just makes me think about what God, we can't really imagine. But God has given us glimpses of his greatness and his glory. And to me, when I see it the most is when I look at the stars at night. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, is God's creation, his celestial bodies. So a couple things here. I have a few notes. You guys ready? Now, I blew them up because I can't see. So they're not as much as you think. So this is how Webster's defines it. This is the teacher part of me, sorry. Of or relating to or suggesting heaven or divinity, celestial beings, and of or to the sky or visible heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. So we're going to focus today on pretty much the sun and the moon. All right. So we're going to go to Genesis 1:1, and they'll all be up here. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So I'm going to take a couple seconds here and just look at some of the things God created for us. And I'm not sure how the pictures are going to come through, but these are some pictures that have been taken by the Hubble telescope. They've been around for about 30 years now, I think. And I know Burlton's been to Ecuador. Anybody else ever been outside of the country? In the mountains, out to Yellowstone or any place on vacation? Around here is great too, because anywhere you can get away from the lights of the city. You know, as country folk, we get away from the lights of the city and just take an opportunity to look up. And one of the things that has always amazed me about Ecuador is where we're at, there's very little light pollution, and you just go outside and you look, and you can't, I can only imagine, you can't imagine and visualize God's creation, his heavens that he created for us, and so you can just take a moment and look and just see. And one of the things, and again, it's not a great picture, but one of the things that always has amazed me in Ecuador is when you take the time and look, you can see so many different colors. You see the oranges and yellows and blues of the different stars out there. It's just amazing that God created that for us to remind us of his glory and his power. So we'll go next one, please. All right, one more, I believe. Two more, I believe, sorry. So it's just always amazing for me to look up at the sky and see what God has done for us. Psalms 147:1-5. It says, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers in the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty is in power. His understanding has no limit." That verse always gets me to think about, you know, he numbered the stars. He knows all their names. But he also knows your name, my name. And he puts us above the stars in place. And it just always touches my heart to think about how great he is, but how much he loves me and how much he loves us. Right. It's just incredible to see and understand it. So, first thing I'm going to look at is the sun. All right, when we see the sun, this looks nothing like the sun, right? We see that little yellow ball in the sky. But our sun is very important to us as humans. You know, the sun is what? It's the center of our solar system. It gives us light. It gives us heat. It provides for us. It provides our food through photosynthesis. So the sun is very, very important to us here on the earth. And without the sun, we would not be able to survive. The sun provides everything that we need. All right. Now, many people try to use science to kind of contradict God's word, because they don't look at it in the right direction. God's word tells us what science is. If we'd only started with the Bible and stayed with the Bible instead of trying to throw our own ideas into it, we'd really get what God's plan is. So John 8:12, I like this verse. This is our family verse. We chose this verse when we went to Ecuador. So when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I think that's a super important promise we need to remember that God gives us. That Jesus is our light. He's the true light of our lives. And as long as we're going to follow him and stick with him, you know, it's like back to the boat. You know, as long as we find our peace in him and let everything else go, we will never go astray. We will always have that light and that light of life. So it's true how important the sun is. But I want to talk about the S-O-N, not the S-U-N right now. So the sun, Jesus, is and should be the most important thing in our lives. Just as the S-U-N is important to us, the S-O-N is even more important to us. Right? So here's an image of our solar system. So as I said, the sun's in the middle and keeps us, all the planets, in orbit around the sun. Keeps us all in order. Keeps us all in line. Right? It gives us that light that we need to survive. But it's also kind of how Jesus is for us, too. He wants to be the center of our lives as well. As the sun is the center of our solar system, Jesus wants to be the center of your life, of my life, of everybody's life, of the creation. If we make him the center of our lives, we can find the same balance that the planets have in the solar system. Even through those storms, those tough times, which we're all going to face. It's just a matter of, you know, talking about the waves. You know, you can have 4-foot waves, you can have 8-foot waves. Right? And sometimes you hit that eye, like Brother was talking about earlier, we say, oh, well, that's cool, easy sailing. But there's another one coming. Right? And if you're not prepared, and if you don't have Jesus as your stabilizer, you can get tossed and turned. So how can he hold us and give us this firm foundation? Let's look at Psalms 27. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I think so many times we forget about that. We forget that God, Lord, Jesus is our light and our salvation. And we get caught up in the whole mess of everything that's going around us, the pandemic and whatever. We get caught up in all that. And we forget. But if we hold tight, whom shall we fear? We should fear nothing. We should fear no one. As long if we truly have that intimate, strong connection with Jesus, there's nothing that we should be afraid of. Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. God wants us in his life. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants us to shine for him. Okay? Isaiah 60, 19. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Just again, Jesus wants to be that for us. But what do we got to do? We have to let go. We have to put our trust in what he wants for us. Let him be our light. You know, when we went to Ecuador, it was tough. You know, I'd been a teacher for 24 years, 22 years in Urbana. You know, we were very, shall we say, comfortable. We were very comfortable where we're at. You know, we were giving our summers to God. Oh, we're going to Ecuador in the summer. That's good. That's awesome. You know, and it was. It was awesome. We were in where we thought God wanted us to be. And for 22 years in a public school, and we had a lot of friends say, how can you teach in a public school? How can you not sometimes, you know? The darkness needs light. Because without the light, there's nothing but darkness. I used to bring this over by Urbana. Anybody been to Ohio Caverns? You used to like going down there. You go down in the caverns and flip off all the lights. What do you see? Nothing. Not a thing. You can't see your own hand in front of your face. But you flip on a match, you flip on a candle, the whole room lights up. That's what God wants to be for us. He wants to be that light. And without that, we're just wandering through the cave. John 12:44, 46. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. So again, he just wants to be that light. But what do you got to do first? What does he tell us we got to do? No one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. You got to believe. You got to have that faith. And it's more than belief. You got to have knowledge. You got to know the truth. You know, was it? Know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You got to know the truth. And you know, we hear this sometimes too. People talk about, well, I know God. I know who Jesus is. I believe in Jesus. How's your life living out? Are you being that light as well? Because how you live your life really shows if you know. Light and darkness, next one, please. 1 John 1:5-7 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. For me, this is the hard part of Christianity. And I tell people all the time, I grew up in the 80s for young people, many moons ago. But one of the things that always turned me away was I felt like Christians were hypocrites. Because what I was seeing on TV, Jimmy Swagger, those TV evangelists, and what I was hearing was supposed to be Christianity, became two different things. And for me, it was a hard, Christianity was a hard sell for me because of what I had seen in the world. The darkness that I was living in and that was around me, because I wasn't being church. I wasn't hearing the truth. And it wasn't until 20 years ago, the assistant pastor, Pastor Allen, came to my house, and I talked about this conversation. I said, this is what my problem is. This is my hang-up with Christianity. And he said, Todd, you're looking at it all wrong, because you're blaming Jesus for what man did. You can't blame Jesus for what man did, because we're all flawed. We're all broken people. We got to look at Jesus for who he is. And he can save you, and he can fix that brokenness in you. And that's when I gave my life to Jesus, because he became the light I wanted to follow. John, next one, please. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. It takes me back to the Ohio caverns. When they flip those lights off, I freak out. I don't want to move. But that's the truth of the world, too. If we're walking around in the darkness, darkness is going to cause you to stumble. And if you're leading a life in the darkness and leading others, you're going to cause them to stumble. That's my greatest fear as a Christian, is I do not want to do anything that would make somebody else stumble. Through my words, through my actions, through my behavior. John 1:6-12. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The truth, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So let's talk about John the Baptist. So he's talking about, at this point, you know, he says he himself was not the light. So many people were looking, who are you? What? And that's kind of the thing we have to remember too. We ourselves, and sometimes we get caught up in we ourselves, me, I am not the light. So in Ecuador, I'm not the light. Jesus is the light. I'm just the reflector. I'm just supposed to reflect what Jesus has done for me, reflect the love that he has provided me, reflect the hope that he gives me on a daily basis, reflect everything that he is in my life. And sometimes we forget about that, and we do make it sometimes about ourselves. And we just need to remember, we need to flip that and be the reflector. Because there was a song, songs speak a lot to me through ministry. There was a song I used to love, and I still love it. Is learning to be the light. And then I was listening to a new song. I mowed the yard in Ecuador. It's about 14 acres. I spent a lot of time on the mower. And so I listened to music. And a new song came up, and it was through Chris Tomlin. You guys like Chris Tomlin? He came out with an album, Chris Tomlin and Friends. And I like it too, because it also has a mixture, because his friends are mostly country singers. And there's a song I want us to listen to, and this one has really spoken to me and kind of led me to this point of this little message today, and it's called Be the Moon. So instead of trying to worry about being the sun, being the light, be the moon.
Among the stars, fly around the
after spending many hours on the lawnmower and listening to that song throughout the months playing in my head, you know, made me really think about it. And if you go to the next slide, and it should be a picture of the moon. Right. So there's a couple lines in there that really speak to me about, you know, I want to be somebody. We all want to be somebody. We all want, but who do we want to be? And the song says, you know, I want to be the moon because I want to be the reflection of the sun. S-O-N. And you know, I think about, you know, people, like, if it's cloudy outside, and, you know, oh, you know, the sun's not out. Well, the sun is always out. Just sometimes we can't see the sun, and that's the S-U-N. And sometimes we can't see the S-O-N because we get distracted by the world. We get caught up in other things of the world, so we lose sight of the sun. Well, what do we know? It's always there. He is always there. We just need to make sure we understand that he's always there, even though we can't see him at the moment, in the midst of that storm or in the midst of the trial or whatever is going on in your life. He is there. He's never left us. He will never leave us. That's important to remember. And then he gives us the moon at night, because we can't see the sun during the daytime or during the nighttime. But he gives us the moon to reflect, to remind us, I think, as a reminder that he's there, that there's never going to be darkness. And that's also why he gives us the other stars, to remind us of his glory, that he is always going to be with us, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance in your life. Just look up. And it always amazes me when scientists look at the world and say, yeah, there's no God. There's no God. But then I'm like, how can you look at the world and see the beauty of the leaves changing color and what that takes? Look at the sky at night and see the beauty of the stars and the heavens and think, oh no, it's just an accident. How can you believe that? I don't know how anybody believes that. God has given us his word to guide us. He's given us his creation to show us that he is real, that he loves us, that he's here for us. All we need to do is just reach out. Reach out, and he will take hold. I want to thank you guys. We brought some stuff over on the table. If you want to try some Ecuadorian candy, there's Ecuadorian candy over there. It's not ladybugs or crickets or any of that kind of stuff. It's just candy. But you can practice your Spanish because it's in Spanish as well. So we have some brochures, some prayer cards. Please take a prayer card. If you don't have one of our family prayer cards, I always say take it. And if you're like me, hang it on the fridge because that's where I go to a lot. And then when you see it, please pray for us. Please pray for what God is doing in Ecuador, because it's all about him. It is always, always, always about him. As Barbara said, we are just his feet, and we have just went to do his service and bring glory to him. And that's all we pray for, is that all we do brings glory to God. Let me pray, please. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for being the light in my life, Lord, being the light in this world, Lord. This world of darkness that needs your light. We pray, Lord, that you help us be a moon, be a reflector of your light to those, Lord, walking around in darkness, that they could see through us just a small glimpse of your glory, your beauty, your majesty, and how wonderful and magnificent you are, Lord. Let us be that reflection so that they can come seeking you and your wonder. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom, to share what you are doing in Ecuador and in our lives, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the blessing of Open Arms and the congregation here. Lord, we pray a special blessing on them, Lord, that you would guide them, protect their lives, Lord, and just again, help them be a moon, Lord, that reflects your glory to all around them. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity to share. And if the pattern holds, we'll be back in 2 years. All right.
Thanks, Todd and Barbara, for coming.